And we're live.
Hello, and welcome back to the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we love to watch.
My name is Tim Costa, and with me are...
Walter Vinci.
Romano Da Silva.
All right, what we like to do on the FTW podcast is find a movie that neither of us have seen, watch it together, and then discuss. These movies could be new, they could be old, or something that is on all of our lists of shame. In this episode, we will be discussing the 2010 Errol Morris documentary, Tabloid. But before we get into that, I'd like to introduce a slightly new format to our show. You know, as everybody knows, we're kind of a fairly new podcast, and we've been playing around with our format a little bit. We think this new segment will be a great way to, for our listeners to get to know all three of our taste in movies a little bit more. This new segment will be called Yay or Nay. Each of us will bring up a few movies we have seen on our own recently and either recommend it by saying yay or not recommend it by saying nay. In addition, you know, we can have the listeners judge for themselves if we kind of feel in the middle of the road about the movie by saying meh. that sound good to you guys? Good format?
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
Let's give it a try.
All right, Hermano, what have you seen recently?
Two movies recently. First one is Moneyball.
Okay.
Got a chance to check that out. Without much interest, to be honest, because when I first heard the premise, it didn't sound that appealing to me. I'm not a huge baseball fan.
Right. But, now Moneyball, the 2011 film directed by Bennett Miller, starring Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill.
Yep.
Okay.
And it was better than I thought it was going to be. I went into it with low expectations. I thought it was pretty good, actually. I mean, they took a seemingly boring topic and made an interesting movie out of it. I mean, people that don't know, it's basically about...
Well, IMDb plot synopsis. Oakland A's general manager, Billy Bean. Billy Bean's successful attempt to put together a baseball club on a budget by employing computer-generated analysis to acquire new players. So, like you said, it's kind of a mundane topic.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, this is one of those movies where I'm like, if Brad Pitt doesn't sign on to this movie, I don't know that it gets made without a guy like Brad Pitt caliber guy, you know what I mean? Like,
or
a Tom
maybe
Cruise
with
or
as much of a budget put behind it, you think?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what the budget was, to be honest, but I mean, it's just, to me, it struck me as one of those movies, sort of like The Social Network. If David Fincher doesn't direct that movie, I don't know that it gets made with, like you said, either the budget that it had.
$50 million.
For Moneyball?
Yes.
And I bet a lot of that was Brad Pitt. So, I mean, the movie didn't look cheap or anything. I'm not saying that.
No,
it looked actually really well. I mean, they must have got major league licensing because they had actual teams.
Oh, sure. Of course, they had.
You know, they had the Red Sox, the Athletics, all the major league teams. And, you know, it was a good movie. I mean, they took something that I didn't think was going to be that interesting. It was about a two-hour movie, I think, and I wasn't bored. I watched it. It was good. I'd recommend it.
So that's a yay for you?
Oh, yeah. A yay.
What was your other movie?
My other movie I saw this past Friday was The Raven.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Why
did you bother to go see this movie?
I had slight interest in it, but it was one of those movies where I'm like, I would have just waited for it to come out on Blu-ray,
uh-huh.
and then I would have checked it out then. But my girlfriend, Mia,
uh-huh.
She's a huge Edgar Allan Poe fan.
Okay.
So she knows a lot of his stories, pretty much all his stories, because... the only ones I knew were, like, you know, the more well-known ones, like Telltale Heart and The Raven.
Okay, so The Raven, starring John Cusack. When a madman begins committing horrific murders inspired by Edgar Allan Poe's work, a young Baltimore detective joins forces with Poe to stop him from making his stories a reality.
That's basically it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, basically, it's one of those whodunit movies. Like, you're introduced to some people... crimes start happening. They mimic Edgar Allan Poe's stories.
Yeah.
And all the murders are committed in a way that is written in his stories. And basically you're trying to figure out who's committing these murders and why they're doing it. And the movie wasn't horrible. I know it's got a bad bad rating right now.
Yeah, a Rotten Tomatoes score of 22%.
22%. I'd probably give it slightly higher than that if I was using their rating system. Like, I'd probably put it at around 50. Maybe.
Okay.
It's not great. It's not horrible. It's just in the middle somewhere. I mean, it's definitely something that I wouldn't tell people to rush out for. So I'd probably give it a meh. But I just want to quickly talk about, there's one scene in it that outside of the rest of the movie, this one sticks out so much because it's literally like a scene from Saw.
Oh,
Like the
really?
movie's not overly graphic or
Is it
anything.
introduced in the trailer at all?
I think maybe like, but not like the, you know,
You talk about the swinging
The
pendulum thing?
pendulum.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it for people, but
Sure.
it compared to the rest of the murders, all the rest of the murders, you don't really see happen. You just see the outcome, like someone got killed.
So is this where it earns its R rating?
I think it earns it probably mostly with that scene, and I think they dropped one F-bomb, but I think they could have still got away with the PG-13.
I always find it odd that F-bombs are introduced in movies that take place in the 1800s. You know, granted, it probably was used back then, but it just always seems a bit out of place,
Well,
doesn't it?
Mia brought up the point that she thinks that maybe the reason it got some of the lower ratings from critics is because in the movie they don't really stick to, I guess the dialogue and the language of the time. Like they're using language that's not, you know, that probably wasn't used in that time. Like just the word okay, that didn't come till like way later. Like the word okay and like where
Right.
does this take place? Like in the 1700s or something,
No, the
or
eighteen
eight
hundreds.
oh 1800s,
Yeah.
like. She brought the point that she didn't think that that word even existed back then. So
Huh.
people are just saying okay, like all
Yeah.
over and over, and I'm just like I didn't pick up on it, but she picked up on it a lot more than I did, and she knew all his stories. She could pick out every murder scene. She's like, oh, that's from this book, that's from that book. So for her, someone who's a huge Edgar Allan Poe fan might get a lot more out of this movie than I did.
Yeah, but how many Edgar Allan Poe fans are going to go see this
Anybody
movie?
that's like an English major, rush out and see this movie, I guess. But I mean, if you're not, if you're like me, I'd say, man, you know, wait for it on
It looks
Blu-ray.
like it's on the same vein as a Sherlock Holmes is, you know, especially with it trying to be as accurate as the original Sherlock Holmes
It's
novels
not.
were
I've
made.
only seen the first Sherlock Holmes, and it's definitely not as clever or, you
Yeah.
know, action-y, I guess, as that movie is.
Oh
You know what I
boy.
mean? Edgar Allan Poe's not doesn't turn into an action hero in this movie.
Oh, all
He's
right.
just the
That's the way they
guy.
market it, though.
Yeah, he's really not.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd say meh. Wait,
Yeah.
wait for it on Blu-ray. Don't rush out.
All right. Any other movies you want to mention?
No, that's it.
Walter?
I saw Safe,
You did
starring
see it.
Jason Statham.
All
Nice.
right.
This movie is everything I wish The Transporter could have been. It gives a ch it gives Jason Statham a chance to showcase his martial arts skills. He's a trained king. He's a trained kickboxer,
Okay.
and it really lets him, like the camera work and like some of the fight scenes really allows him to kind of showcase and like use his abilities, you know, his kickboxing abilities to their best, and like some of the actions just go breakneck speed, and I was like, wow, he only had a big black car. He could drive around for a while. I could get the
Like
Transporter 4 to erase the nonsense that was Transporter 3.
a nice shiny Audi.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret on the show that I'm a huge Jason Statham fan, so I give this a full on yay, go see it.
All right.
Nice.
Anything else?
That's all I've seen so far.
All right.
Been a busy work week.
Okay then. Well, I had a chance to see the 2009 documentary Cropsey. Have you guys heard of this
Yes,
movie?
I've seen it.
You have seen
Yeah,
it.
I've seen it.
Wally, have you heard
What's
of
it
it?
about?
It was produced by two filmmakers who explore an urban legend of a killer with a hook for a hand from Staten Island when
Oh, the one with the scratching on the hood and the severed head?
No,
no.
No.
that's an urban legend, but this is a different, like this is a specific to Staten Island.
All right, go ahead.
The filmmakers, you know, this urban legend was from when they were youths, and they try to tie it into a mystery that surrounded five missing children from the early 70s to the late 80s. You know, I thought it was a competent documentary. It was a little underwhelming. Do you remember how long ago did you see it?
Like a year or a year and a half ago, maybe.
Yeah, do you
Yeah,
remember much of it?
I remember liking it. I mean, my
Me
brother's
too.
the one that actually turned me on to it, and I watched it, and I thought, like you said, it's not the greatest documentary, but I thought they did a pretty fairly good
Well,
job.
you know, they try to weave together the urban legend and the suspect of the kid who the person who kidnapped the kids, and I didn't think they wove it together very well. I don't know.
Well, I think, I don't remember if this is right or not. You might be able to tell me. The urban legend existed before this guy, right?
Yes, because there were a couple of abandoned mental institutions
Yep.
in the area that fostered this urban legend because it was when it was abandoned, there were a number of the inmates who had stayed there and lived off of what they could find and used the building as shelter. And it was kind of the living conditions of the mental institutions were exposed by a very young Geraldo Rivera, and it was from like 1972 or so, the very early 70s,
He still had the mustache,
that he
though.
had that was probably the most fascinating part of it, was seeing this really young Geraldo Rivera trying to.
Well, that and that, I think that was, they said that was like one of his first stories, like trying to break into like, news and stuff like that. And it was,
It eventually led to them closing it down. It was a few years until they closed it
those
down, but
scenes of like the inside of that place was holy crap.
yeah,
Like,
that would have been a more interesting story if they explored just the mental institution. But obviously, they wanted to tie it into how they, what led to the urban legend and how they grew up with it. Once again, I didn't think they put that story together very well, of what it was like growing up with this urban legend. They focused more on the suspect who was eventually charged with kidnapping these children.
because he was like a janitor or something,
He was
right?
a
At the
janitor
mental
for,
hospital that they closed down.
yes, yeah. And he supposedly confessed to something. I guess it was a kidnapping to the cops. He certainly acted strange. Nothing he did really helped him with this case. Well, either way, I guess I would give it a meh. If you like urban legends and you're interested in seeing stories that kind of keep you guessing if someone did or didn't commit the crime, you can go see it. But you don't have to go out of your way to if you're kind of ambivalent towards it. The second movie I like to talk about is one that we will actually tie into future episodes of the FTW podcast. From time to time in the future, we're going to be releasing bonus episodes where we watch an older movie and then watch its remake. We'll then discuss our thoughts on the original, the remake, and if the remake was even necessary. But the movie that ties into this is the original Gone in 60 Seconds from 1974.
Oh.
I'm sure everyone's familiar with the 2000 Nicolas Cage remake, eh, Wally? Wally?
Yep, that's right. And don't you forget it.
Yeah. The original has, vaguely the same storyline in which an insurance investigator and his team lead double lives as car thieves who are commissioned to steal 48 cars. Now, I say vaguely the same storyline because really the story isn't all that clear. The 1974 original, it's obviously the type of film that would have been part of a drive-in double feature. And the only reason to see this movie is like the awesome cars and the 40-minute car chase at the end of this movie.
Holy crap.
It's an hour and 36 minutes long, this movie, and the last 40 minutes of it is a car chase,
Wow.
fe fe featuring the Mustang known as Eleanor.
The Shelby.
Well, no, for the remake it was made into a Shelby, but it was some souped-up Mustang.
Oh, okay.
And I, you know. They introduce it as, Eleanor and how the main character is, fixated on this car. And it's really sad to think that the remake with Nicolas Cage does a better job of establishing his relationship with the car, if you will.
Like it's a curse, but he loves it or
Yeah,
something like that.
it's just mentioned, and there's a lot of voice. It's really weird because the movie kind of takes you out of place, out of the movie itself, because it is a lot of voiceovers, so there's not a lot of dialogue between characters in the opening of the film. So you're trying to pay attention to, I don't know. It's just really oddly put together. And the car chase at the end, the 40-minute car chase, really kind of verges on like Blues Brothers car chase. You know how
Really?
silly that got?
Yeah.
It's really odd. So. I definitely give this a nay. Stay away from the movie. It's I like and I even own the remake. And I'd say go watch that one. All right. I guess that does it for yay or nay.
That takes care of this segment.
All right, let's talk about Tabloid. Released in 2010. The IMDb plot synopsis is as follows. A documentary on a former Miss Wyoming who is charged with abducting and imprisoning a young Mormon missionary. That's really just the tip of the iceberg with this story, you know. Now, Errol Morris, his more famous documentaries include The Thin Blue Line, Mr. Death, and The Fog of War. Are any of you familiar? Have
Mr.
seen?
Death.
You've
One about
seen.
Jack Kevorkian. Oh no,
No.
that's not that one. It's
No, that's Fred A. Lecter Jr. That
I've heard it. No, that's not what I'm thinking of then.
Okay, so
Never
you
mind.
haven't?
I have not.
I've actually seen A Thin Blue Line.
You have?
I think it's if I it was a while ago, but I think it's the guy that was wrongfully accused of like a it's all about a guy that was wrongfully accused of some kind of murder or something, like in Texas, I think, or something like that.
Right. So you are familiar with it.
I've watched at least one other one, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is, I think, my first Errol Morris documentary I've seen. Opinions, Hermano.
Of this movie or him
Of this
pers
movie.
I
Tell me.
liked it. I mean, I went into it, I'd heard about this movie in a few other podcasts, but I didn't listen to it because they were, I think it was review podcasts, and I didn't want to know too much about it because it seemed like one of those movies that it would benefit you just going into it knowing very little. And I know,
Right.
I think I tried to tell you guys not to maybe just read the synopsis and not know
Yeah,
much
that's pretty
about
much
it.
all I did. I didn't read much at all about this, and I don't even really remember the reviews I had listened to a couple years
All I
ago.
remember is just basically people saying it was good and I just knew a base synopsis and I liked it a lot. Like I first I was like, man, I'm not sure if I'm gonna like this because it
Yeah.
started out very kind of bland.
Yes.
It was just a bunch of talking heads, and that's pretty much what the entire documentary is. It's
Sure.
just a bunch of talking heads,
Yes.
pretty much letting the people tell the story or the two sides to the or three, four, five sides to the story,
Right.
from all these different angles. And I liked it. As the movie got on, I'm like, all right, I'm starting to like this. I'm starting to like this. Getting more interesting, more interesting. And by the end of it, I'm like, wow, this is pretty batshit insane. This story is just crazy. But yeah, I
Okay.
liked it overall.
Wally?
I have to say the first two thirds of the movie were all right. I could have done without some of the weird like animations and whatnot
Right.
that they were using in the thing. And then the last third of the movie is completely irrelevant to the
All
story.
right, we'll get to that.
And I don't like that in my documentaries. I like having one complete picture of an event
Yeah.
in my documentaries. And that last one, the last third, I was just like checking my phone. I'm like, I don't really care about any of this.
I also enjoyed this. It is a rather interesting story. It's a story I'd never heard of before. Uh,
Yeah, me
it
neither.
it it takes place in the 70s, and obviously, I don't know how much the press caught wind of it here, or followed it in the United States as much as they obviously did in England. Obviously, the tabloid craze is pretty heavy out there in England as opposed to the U.S., especially back then. So I don't know. It was it definitely is very interesting. They don't do any favors to Joyce McKinney. I think Errol Morris at least doesn't do any favors to her to try to make her seem any l less crazy than the other people claim that she is. I don't know. You
I
want to add
heard
more to that.
I well I heard after the movie came out and she watched it, she pretty much just claimed that even the movie was a lie, like nothing in the movie was true, like they made her look bad. And
Well, she didn't seem to accept anybody's stories or versions of events in the documentary.
and there's a lot of evidence to prove that, like, a lot of her story was kind of bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, she's one of these people that, like, no matter how much evidence you have on her, no matter how much, people say otherwise, like, she's just gonna stick to her story. And a lot of it just seemed like, especially when she was talking about the dog attack that happened
Well,
later in the movie.
so they cover a lot of her life when she's younger, when
In the
she's
beginning, yep.
in the beginning of the movie, when as she's growing up, and the modeling that she had done. And you can see in the pictures that she grew up to around 19 and 20, and when all this happened, she was a beautiful woman. She was very striking. It's strange to see the pictures of her when she was younger, because she wasn't an attractive child at all. She was kind of fugly.
Harsh. Judging little kids. Holy crap. 1 to 10 scale, Tim. What do you give her? Jeez.
I want they. They really didn't explore much of her family life, though, of her growing up. Just the events in her life. So I really am curious as to what type of household she grew up in that led her to become the person she is, you know?
I kind of wish they would have gone a little more into her growing up, like, because they start right at 19 when she's already
Right.
an aspiring model or whatever.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, like, it's one of those movies where, like, in the beginning, they just, I'm like, that's what the part where I was like, this
Yeah.
just seems very straightforward and boring. Like,
Yeah.
they're pretty much just telling the story of her life, which wasn't that interesting. But then everything comes out and it becomes her story just completely starts to unravel, and you're just like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Like just the beginning. All right, so like basically, we haven't even really broken it down, but she's an aspiring model. She meets this guy who is, I guess, a Mormon,
Yes.
and she's got the hots for him or whatever, and apparently the way she tells it, he has the hots for her, and they're madly in love. But then mysteriously one day he just they talk about getting married, they're engaged or whatever, the way she tells it, and then all of a sudden she disappears.
He does disappear, yes.
And that's what starts her on this like this crazy journey
To find
to
him,
find
to hunt
him.
him down, to figure out where he is. Yeah, and that's when they bring in this ex-Mormon to talk about the lives of Mormons and what it's like to go through the church and what they aspire to be. You know, so this is the guy that I kind of wish that they brought in a little bit more to describe what the Mormon life was like and how it could have tied in to this whole story, you know, and to how why Kirk, the person she Joyce McKinney was after, why he acted the way he did, you know, or supposedly, you know, why he did. Anyways, you were gonna add. I'm sorry, I
Well,
interrupted you.
she just, she can't understand why all of a sudden he just randomly disappears. I mean, you get a little backstory too. Apparently, his mother, which is a hardcore Mormon, didn't approve of her.
Yeah.
So obviously, there's some kind of, a strain in the relationship there. So that may have led to him, disappearing or whatever. So that's what I picked up. And then,
Well, also he had to go out on his mission to
but I feel like she didn't understand that. Like, she didn't know
Right.
that Mormons go out on missions, and or she, but wouldn't he have told her that? Like,
Yeah, I
you know what I mean? Like,
know.
hey, I gotta go on this mission. Like, I'm
Yeah.
not disappearing. She didn't know where he went. She
Yeah.
had no idea.
It's like she didn't have any understanding of the basis of his religion,
So
you
this is
know.
where her story starts getting really interesting to me. Like,
Yeah.
she's like, she hires like a private investigator to track him down.
And she said she worked for three jobs for a year or so
Well, that's
just
her
to,
story.
yeah, exactly. That's what
She's
she
like,
says.
I moved to LA for whatever reason.
Oh, that's
Hire
right.
a private investigator. I'm working three jobs to support this,
That's right.
of hiring of the investigator. And I guess the investigator somehow tracks him down and finds out that he's in England.
Yes.
And so she gets a bunch of money, hires a pilot, gets some bodyguards because she's not sure what she's gonna encounter when she gets to England.
Well, that's what she says.
That's
That's
this is her side of the story
her
now.
side of the
I'm
story.
strictly telling her side of the story.
Yeah.
That's how the documentary starts. So apparently she hires a pilot, bodyguards, goes off to England, finds him. I don't know when she concocted this plan, but
I know.
apparently she concocts a plan where she's gonna get like a fake gun
Yep.
and
Some chloroform, I
some
guess.
chloroform,
Yeah.
the knockout stuff or
Yeah,
whatever, and
yeah.
she's gonna abduct him
Yeah.
with the help of one of the guys, because one of the bodyguards apparently, once he got wind of this plan, just says, "I'm
Well, the
out."
pilot who was hired, and he just kept driving them from place to place and walking them from place to place in the city.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and apparently he's like, when he gets word of like their plan, he's like, "I'm out." And
Yeah.
one of the other bodyguards, I guess, was out too. But then she had the additional guy, which we get to know him as Keith. Kate, they call him KJ
KJ.
in the movie or whatever.
Yes.
And this guy's like by her side through this entire ordeal or whatever. But apparently she encounters the guy at some like Church of Latter-day Saints church or whatever, and she abducts him with the help of this dude.
Well, that was where it was a little bit unclear as to whether or not she abducted him or if he came willingly.
That's where the story starts to diverge, because she's saying that he came willingly, but he's claiming the Mormon guy, which his name is
Kirk.
Kirk. He claims that, he was abducted. He was held captive in a hotel room, like chained to a bed, where she repeatedly raped him,
Yeah.
like for 3 days straight.
Yeah, and that's where the story of the tabloid reporter and Joyce diverge a little bit. You know, the tabloid reporter in his tabloid ways, I guess, you know, tells a story of him being chained to the bed and only having enough chain enough to go to the bath length enough to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
And she tells a story of him not being chained, but staying willingly.
And just, you know, just saying hell with Mormonism or whatever.
Right,
I want to be with you.
And succumbing to his sexual desire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, that's where the theme kind of picks up in this movie. I think the theme of this is what is the truth, you know? You have to find the middle ground of the truth. You have to listen to both sides of the story, both extremes, and find, wait a minute, there's some truth in this in the middle. And that is pointed out by that ex-Mormon in this movie.
He breaks it down three ways.
He breaks it down three ways. You believe her story, you believe his story,
the Mormon story,
the Kirk's story, or the truth somewhere is somewhere,
somewhere
in
between.
Yeah, and that is exactly the theme of this movie.
Now, where do you fall?
Oh man, it's like I said, the way it's edited, the way it's shy, it's really hard to fall in on the side of Joyce because they don't. She doesn't do any favors for herself, the way she acts, the way she talks about everything.
I thought up until about, like Wally said, the last third of the movie,
yeah.
I thought she was maybe somewhat believable. But then everything goes out the window when you see the last third of this documentary, for me at least. I was like, all right, this lady may be slightly crazy.
Right. we'll save that part of the documentary for spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. But I think I fall where... It's got to be somewhere in between. Like, I think I believe her a little bit, and I believe him. I think he came willingly.
Yes, I believe that as well. I'm pretty sure that there were... obviously, he must have succumbed to his desires. They probably did have sex quite a few times that weekend. But like the ex-Mormon said, there must have been a point where he felt extreme guilt for leaving the church for, I don't know, just... feel like he was abandoning the church, you know, especially when you get the sense that the Church of Latter-day Saints kind of brainwashes their members.
I want to talk a little bit about Mormonism.
Wally, did you want to add anything to this?
This whole documentary is inconclusive because we're missing a very key part of the story because he refused to be interviewed.
Kirk.
And that's Kirk himself.
Yes.
And until you get that half of the story from... His side of things, I can't make any decision as to whether or not what happened.
I tend to agree with that.
Because I'm listening to a reporter who uses the very beginning of the documentary sensationalized words.
Yes.
Where he's like, well, he actually says he was chained. Well, she says it was ropes, but chain sounds a lot better.
Yes.
And then he goes and he emphasizes the word spread-eagled a few times.
Well, hence the name of the...
he's a sensationalist reporter. He's a tabloid. He's a tabloid
writer. And that's the title of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. But without that other half of the story, I can't make any conclusions over what exactly happened.
Do you think that's
happened.
The intention of the movie?
I don't know. I mean, I would love to see if Kirk had allowed himself to be interviewed. But I mean, it says at the very very end because the whole as the movie's going on, I'm like, why the hell is Kirk not giving his side of the story? Like, is he? I first I'm like, is he dead?
You know what's interesting is you talk about the tabloid reporter and he describes Kirk in the beginning before you really see any pictures. Or video
well,
of
she
him.
Describes him first.
Yeah, she
gives a totally...
Right, her description is a handsome, great smile, great hair, beautiful blue eyes. You get this picture of a dashing, handsome man.
Uh-huh.
He gives the description, the tabloid reporter gives a description of a large, overweight, ugly man.
That walks like a duck.
That walks like a duck, yes. You see the pictures... of him, you see the video,
like these old, like Super 8
videos of him. Of the era, and he is somewhere in between, isn't he? He is tall.
Yeah, he's not, he didn't quite seem like he was over 300 pounds. He seemed like maybe he was overweight, kind of like a slightly nerdy.
Yeah, but he looked like he could have been about 6'4", 250 pounds, slightly overweight, not anywhere near as heavy as the reporter said, not
so the
nearly
truth was somewhere
anywhere
in between.
As handsome as she had said, yeah.
I think that's the whole thing in the movie. It's
whole
like
point.
The truth is somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're never going to get the full truth because everyone has these crazy stories, and then You know, you just gotta kind of pick and choose what you believe, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Should we get to the end, or should we talk about the end of the movie now, or was
I
there
think we
anything you
need
wanna?
to probably get into spoilers to discuss some of the later stuff that happens in the movie.
Okay.
All right, so give me a second. And spoilers.
All right. So the end of this movie, the last segment of this movie, shows Joyce talking about
Something completely unrelated to the case.
her dog, her pit bull dog. Now wait a minute. Before they even bring out the dog, they show her with a home video camera from 1986, walking through her house, walking on her property. And showing a part of the property and a dog next door, I guess, barking. What was the whole point of that?
The point was that she believes that the paparazzi were hiding in the woods and near the stream that was causing
Like
the
every
dog to
time
bark.
the dog would
She didn't
bark.
establish that at all
And that's
that
what I
well.
picked up. I was like, this girl is completely
Well,
like.
she claimed that she was agoraphobic at that
Yeah,
time because she was afraid to go
because she was
outside.
afraid to go outside, and she felt that she says it when she describes the farm she was on, that there was a stream or a creek and woods, and she felt that those were natural barriers, but paparazzi would just put on waders and come across the water. So
Oh,
she's outside
okay.
documenting where they came,
I didn't catch
trying
that.
to.
I just got the sense that she was very paranoid, like,
Yeah,
you know.
she hears the dog barking. So this obviously, some to her, to her opinion is that
Something
there's
startled
somebody,
the dog to get him to
yeah,
bark, so
somebody's
she's
hiding out
constantly has
there.
a
All
camera
right.
ready to, you know, get.
Okay, I get it now. Well, anyways, that leads into her talking about her getting a dog, a pit bull,
Her
her tough
first
guy,
pitbull.
her first pit bull, who becomes sick, and she takes it to the vet, I guess. And she claims that the people around town and obviously the people on the vet didn't care for her, didn't really like her, and gave the dog the wrong type of shot or the wrong amount of
Prescription
medicine.
prednisone,
Yeah, that the dog needed to get better, and it caused the dog to have a brain aneurysm and go crazy and attack
And
her.
attack her.
And the scars that she showed on her hand, half of her wrist was almost missing. And then she claimed all these other
But she
injuries.
couldn't just leave it there. Like, she's claiming,
No.
like, oh, my fingers were amputated. This dog ripped my guts and my intestines were just hanging
Yeah,
out of
I
me. And
know.
she was really being almost like a tabloid
Yeah.
journalist herself. She was sensationalizing the story and
That's a
just
good
being like,
point.
you know what I mean? She just couldn't leave it at the. She did that a lot in the movie. When she's telling stories,
Yeah.
she was always taking it to the most grandiose storytelling
Yeah,
aspect
the
that she
next
could.
level.
Yeah, she would never just. It could just never be that her dog attacked her. She had
Right.
to describe it as like the most unreal portrayal of a
She
dog
had to
attack
use these
ever.
explicit adjectives to continue on with the story. Yeah. And I guess another dog saved her. Was it the next door neighbor, the dog that wasn't
No, it's
barking?
another dog that she had picked up from
Oh, that's right.
that she saw like, as a stray, and
Yes.
she picked him up, and that dog was named Booger. And
Yeah,
Booger
Was
went
it?
into defense mode and attacked the pit bull that would to separate them.
Yes, and Booger, the rescue dog, was actually
A trained a trained service
a
dog
trained
that was
service
just
dog.
happened to be a stray.
Yeah, I guess so. So that led to her talking about her relationship with this dog that saved her, and how it died of cancer, and how she was devastated, and she found out, wait a minute, I can get this dog cloned. So out of the blue, this comes completely out of the blue.
Yeah, this part of the documentary
You're
is a
at
little
this point in the
weird.
documentary, it's about an hour and 10 minutes in, and you're wondering why are they going to this, and then where does this dog fit into this story?
I feel like maybe Errol Morris didn't know how to end it, and he just said, you know what, I'm gonna just.
That's my feeling
This
too,
is
that
the
he needed
only
to
way I
pad it
could end it.
out.
I just want to get a little bit of a portrayal of her and just. I think he was really going after the fact that she just seems a little out there, like she's a
Yeah.
little crazy.
Yeah.
It
You
just
know what I
seems
mean?
like padding to
So they
me, this whole
interview the
thing.
cloning doctor from South Korea, who looks a bit nutty himself, or
He
at least
looked
he had
like
this
a.
air of I don't know.
He looked like Korean Elvis to me, dude. He looked
Korean
insane. Like he looked
Elvis.
so like he looked like the absolute picture of like a metrosexual, like totally done up, like just looked super, just insane. Like
Yeah. So they even show the her receiving the dogs as she made the trip to South Korea, and how the Associated Press got wind of this and found out that this was the Joyce McKinney from 1977 that was in the tabloids, and decided, well, let's go follow this woman. And then she claims that the Associated Press decided to slander her again, you
Yeah.
know, and they cut back to the two tabloid reporters, the British tabloid reporters, not really putting her in a good light again, you know, once again leading you to try to put, you know, the story somewhere in between, you know. So yeah, the dogs, and then they find out, or she finds out, that the cloning procedure led to five dogs, and that
Five
was
identical
identical
old puppies, yeah.
boogers. Because, you know, dogs don't give birth in litters.
Yeah,
Oh
I know, she was so surprised.
my God,
So yeah, and then it just kind of ends there, you
them?
know.
We totally skipped over the whole middle of this movie.
It's true, you know. It's
It's gonna sound so strange when people go to listen to this podcast and it's like it goes from like, hey, she raped this dude. Hey, she had a dog and it died.
a
Like
good
we
point.
missed the whole middle. Like
Yeah.
the middle is crazy because basically she gets arrested for because the guy claims that he was abducted. She goes on trial. She's released on bail basically while awaiting the verdict or something from the trial. So she actually heads back
In
in
disguise.
disguise. And
Oh, yeah.
flees England, goes to Canada,
Gets through customs miraculously.
as a
Gets through.
mute,
She
disguises
As a
herself
mute.
as a fat, deaf mute.
Old lady.
Yeah, and she gets through customs somehow with like some. She the story is crazy. She gets two dead people's
Birth
birth certificates. They don't
certificates.
even explore how she got those birth certificates. How could she have obtained those birth certificates? You could just go to like any city hall, I guess, and just get like a copy.
I don't know. I
Say,
would
hey,
have.
I'm like this dude's granddaughter or whatever. I want a copy of his birth
But
certificate or
Errol
something.
Morris, you hear him asking questions from time to time from behind the camera. He never even asks her that. Or at
I
least they
don't think
don't
he,
show
yeah,
it.
he, I don't know. I feel like I want to watch more of his documentary to see if this is what he always does, but he seems to just let people talk. Like he doesn't ask
Oh,
a lot. He
sure.
just maybe asks one question and like the floodgates open.
Yeah.
He just gets this amazing story. Like
Yeah.
if he can do that all the time, he's gonna be, I mean, he's great, but I mean her story is like insane, insane. The middle of this movie really got me. I was like, holy crap. Like she's hanging out like at one point, like she becomes obviously from all the tabloid coverage, she becomes super famous, like around the country. Like she's well known. Like she's kinda like the Lindsay Lohan of her time.
That's a good
You
point.
know what I mean? Like she's hanging out with like movie stars. She meets John
She
Travolta.
does
She
at
meets
a
Keith
screening
Moon of
of
Saturday
Saturday
Night
Night
Fever. She
Fever.
meets Keith Moon, the drummer from The Who.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. Like I think she was reveling it in it at the time,
And
but
that's another thing that they didn't explore a lot is how much she glommed on to her own fame, you know, how much she took advantage of that.
until the revelation that I mean in the beginning of the movie it's
Right.
mentioned by the pilot, he's like, because she's like a 19-year-old model and she's paying for all these things, like a trip to
He's
England,
wondering where he
renting a
got the
plane.
money.
Where did she get all this money?
Yeah.
She literally pays him in an envelope
$100
full of
bills.
$100
Yeah.
bills.
Yeah.
And he's like, I never understood. I didn't think models got that paid that well.
Yeah.
And later
But
on
it
in the movie,
turns
this in the
out
middle of the movie, it turns out, Wally.
that she could potentially have been an escort.
Yes. An S&M escort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't really matter. She's an escort's an escort.
And all these pictures are
All these
found.
pictures are they find all these pictures which she claims are doctored. But it does make sense when they ask one of the journalists like what happened to the, you know, the 1,000 photos that he had of her. That the newspaper that he worked for went under several ownership changes,
Yeah.
and as such, the contents of the folder and the file had been lost,
Right.
which makes sense. I work at a newspaper that's been around for a couple hundred years, and that's certainly possible. When you open the
Sure.
archive room, you can see like all the old stuff from like
Yeah.
when the paper first started circulating, like the early 1700s, and you know you're not gonna be able to find everything, you know. Throughout all the years, like stuff gets missing, it
Yeah.
gets destroyed, or you know whatever. But certainly explains $100 bills in the ballot in the envelope.
I know. Yeah. So, and it does kind of explain where she could have gotten all these costumes, that was supposedly overflowing in the suitcase when one of the tabloid reporters puts her and her friend up in a hotel, and she just, as he says, she just touched the briefcase button and it exploded with a bunch of
Exploded.
different types of costumes, from nun costumes to
Like,
to.
We were supposed to watch a Bollywood movie. There was she was
she was
her and her
just, she
best
did,
friend are disguised as
as
a
Indian
pair of
people
Indians,
from
and
Calcutta,
that's not
specifically from
feather.
I know. That's funny.
So yeah, like that's where I think she her whole celebrity lifestyle or whatever she was living, like that's where it turns. Like all of a sudden she doesn't want the tabloid coverage anymore.
Yeah.
Like at first it was all good when everyone just thought she was this 19-year-old model that, was wrongly portrayed or wrongly accused of raping this dude or whatever. But then when it comes out that she's like an SNM model, she's pretty much a prostitute for hire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
it's
The tabloid reporter claimed that she would perform oral sex, but wouldn't have
actually have
regular
reg
sex.
yeah intercourse, yeah, full
Yeah.
intercourse. It just that's where the movie really I was like, wow, holy crap, I didn't even expect this out of this movie. Like it just reveals so much about her, and all of a sudden her story, you start questioning whether or not she's been telling the truth at all, because she hides such a big part of her life.
Yeah.
She didn't want anyone to know about that, and she's been telling all this like this sensational story, and then when that comes out, all of a sudden she's like, no, everyone's got me wrong, and
She almost jumps off the balcony.
she almost commits suicide when it
Suicide.
happens. So I mean,
Yeah.
why would someone who knows that all this is fake do
Yeah.
that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then also, you know how she keeps saying throughout the movie, you see in old news footage of her being interviewed, that she's gonna
Write a book.
write a book. She's gonna write a book. And then she talks about she had written her book. All of her materials were in her truck, and it was stolen. And
Yeah.
then there's pictures of her, I guess, for police evidence, for her to provide to the police for evidence
The tools that
of
were
the tools
used.
of how somebody could have broken into her car. And it shows in the photos in succession of how somebody would break into her truck. So it leads you to believe, well, wait a minute,
Now,
she could have easily done this herself
I thought it was. I thought that was like her own portrayal of what happened, well, what might have happened, or what she
yeah.
thinks happened.
Oh, okay.
Well, the other
I
thing
didn't take
too.
that as that was like some kind of police evidence, because I mean, obviously she's older in those shots. Like she's already whatever present day age she is. I think she's like maybe in her
Well, this
60s.
was claimed only to happen about what, 10 years ago or a few years
I thought she was
prior.
saying it happened when she was younger.
No. It only happened a short time
Oh,
ago.
okay.
Yeah.
But the newsreel footage is what survived. Now, this is a late model truck with high wooden sides, like if you were gonna
Yeah.
go scrap metaling.
Right.
Just saying, it's not the most secure place I would leave. I write scripts.
Yeah,
Those stay in my house or on my hard drive here on the
why would she
computer.
put all the stuff in her truck?
I take it with me when I bring it in the house when I'm done.
I
So if
mean,
I'm writing a book and she's using a typewriter, you know what I mean? She has all these pages and papers. Why would you leave those in your truck? They
yeah.
can get ruined.
She just had
Yeah.
a convenient story for every
She
time like a
did.
story didn't go her way. She just had a convenient,
She really did.
reasoning for, oh, this happened, or she just always had a way out of anytime she got caught in a lie, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, or she just laughed it off,
Yeah.
with a real creepy laugh. I don't know. She just came off
She
as
had some good
very, very
one-liners.
odd.
The one I didn't get though, you guys gotta explain this if you got this. The one where she's like, where she, someone claimed, asked her, oh, do you think that a woman can rape a man? And what did she say? She's like,
She's
no, that's
like
like stuffing a
a marshmallow in
marshmallow
a keyhole.
in a parking
In a
meter.
parking, that's right,
That's like stuffing
marshmallow
a
in a parking
marshmallow in a parking
meter.
meter, and I have no idea. I'm trying to decipher this. I
Well,
have no idea what it means.
that's great too, is also she's trying to talk about her sex weekend with Kirk and how he was impotent. And she couldn't pronounce impotent, so
She
she
spelled
spells
out.
it out, and this is where the editor overlays, as she's spelling it out, the word impotent, as she's
Yeah.
spelling it out,
Straight out of
which
Scott Pilgrim. Yeah.
it was. Yeah.
Yeah, there's that, but then there's like other parts of her story that don't seem to make sense, because in the story prior to like him being impotent, they're dancing and he gets a boner, and she talks about
Yeah.
she's like, oh yeah, he got an erection, but then the minute they sit down, it's gone.
Yeah.
So she gives him a massage, then it's back.
Yeah.
It's the magical penis.
I think the most believable part of the stories were everybody talking about the court proceedings.
Uh-huh.
You know, the way she was describing his reactions, and I guess the reporters were in there as well, were talking about the proceedings. Everybody's story was the most believable, you know, of how the court proceedings would have gone down. Other than that, there's definite gray area in between.
I think up to that point, up to the court proceedings, I think everything seemed like it was like the Mormon guy said. I think the story is somewhere in the middle. But everything after that just seemed totally off the wall. Like, I had no idea what to think. Like, I'm like, where is this coming from? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, all right. I hope I don't offend anyone. We got to talk about Mormonism.
It does play a good part into the story.
Because, especially, like Wally said, I wish, really, really wish we could have got the other guy's side of the story,
Kirk's,
the Mormon guy,
yeah.
The guy that allegedly got raped
by
her. But as they're talking about, like, the history of Mormonism and stuff, and I don't claim to know anything about, you know, that religion,
right.
But do they really believe that when you die, you become a god? And you're given your own planet?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Why the hell does Scientology catch so much shit then? Because I don't think that anything in Scientology sounds any less crazy than that.
Like, well, no, because there is still... Well, I think it's because it's more of a legitimately organized religion. And that has been... Actually, it's only been around since the mid-1800s.
It just sounded... I don't know, man. Like, obviously, like... I don't know, you know, Mormonism, and whenever I hear stuff like that, or like, you hear these, you know, I'm not trying to compare the two at all, but I'm just saying, like, for comparison purposes, like when you hear like someone from Afghanistan or something, like one of these guys, they recruit, you know, an Al Qaeda or whatever, and they're like, hey, if you do this horrific thing, you're gonna get like 19 virgins.
No, it's nothing like that.
I know it's not.
That's
it's
a bad
just,
comparison,
dude. It's really
that's not fair to Mormonism.
I don't. I'm not saying that's what Mormonism is like. I'm just saying like that just sounds crazy. Like, doesn't it sound a little?
Oh,
off?
Sure, absolutely. I think the history of Mormonism is pretty insane. Walter,
I remember being a kid and calling up those commercials like, when it's time to turn around, find out where your greatest joys are found. You would call an 800 number, you get a free book. So I called the number from my grandparents' house. Every freaking summer, the Mormons would show up at my grandfather's house. Ever since I got that book, and the best part was my grandfather, God rest his soul, was the greatest man ever to live because he would sit them down and talk about Catholicism for 45 minutes, and I would sit there and just watch them like, look at the clock, look at the door, look at the clock. Go, thanks for the book, guys.
That's funny.
I wonder if I can find it somewhere. I actually still have it. It may still be shrink wrapped. I don't think I ever read it. I just wanted the free book.
I don't know, man. Just in the context of the movie, like that stuff didn't just seem like it fit in this movie. Like it was just another level of like weirdness.
Yeah, you know those old cartoons that they showed. That's an actual kind of a cartoon that they show the younger Mormon children on the history of...
I need to watch these cartoons.
Yeah, on the history of Mormonism. And it is pretty insane.
And I really am not trying to offend anyone. I'd never heard of this before in my life. And I'm like, how did I get to age 35 and never once hear about this? It's so weird. I mean, growing up Catholic and stuff, like I know there's probably things in Catholicism that people are like, oh, you know.
We got to go out and see the Book of Mormon.
We should.
We do.
Anything else you guys want to add to this?
That's all I got.
I don't know what else to say, man. It's just
overall, it's a decent documentary.
It's an entertaining story, to say the least.
Yeah.
It's entertaining to watch. I can't really call it a documentary, only because only really 1.5 sides is portrayed.
Yeah.
In this whole thing, because Kirk's side is never actually given
it
any.
Really sucks.
Any
and they
voice.
Mentioned at the end that it's not like they couldn't get him.
They couldn't
he just
refused, refused to be
refused
interviewed.
To be interviewed.
Yeah, well, of course, being part of the Mormon Church, you know, they probably have a
strict code.
Yeah, I mean, he may still be worried about being excommunicated.
Yeah.
Or
was
whatever.
He excommunicated?
No, they that's one of the penalties and punishments, so that if he were to come out and tell his side of the story and they were to hear it, then most likely he would be excommunicated.
Oh, okay.
Grade? Molly?
B.
I'll go B+.
And I would give it a B too, B as well, I should say. So, first time watches podcast, A grade of
B.
No, the movie's not B. The movie is Tabloid. We're gonna give it a grade of B.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you for this one. I'm the funny one here.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the First Time Watchers podcast. You can find us on Facebook by searching First Time Watchers. We post movie news and updates that we think you would be interested in. You can email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on Twitter at 1sttimewatchers@twitter.com.
Yes. So please download our episodes on iTunes. Also, feel free to leave a review. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Stay tuned for our next episode. We will be discussing The Avengers.
Yes. I'm coming here with my forehand right, can't wait. First Time Watchers podcast, because we love to watch.
I was like, this can't be true. And I looked it up. I was like, holy shit, it's true.
I'm going to offend. I don't want to intentionally. I'm not going to go out of my way to offend them. But man, like, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Like, if any of that, I got to look it up first. I don't know if I want to actually just blow up Mormon people. Be like, later on, I'll be like, oh, none of that shit was true.
The First Time Watchers podcast, destroying religion nationwide.